Peace be unto you. Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Have ye here any meat? These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
So if you're familiar with this account, I do believe that it would have been a whole lot more exciting than in that room than it was depicted. But the words that Jesus said are the words that we have in Scripture, and so the video producers just wanted to stay true to that. But if you also read around that depiction, you realize, I think, that one of the things that we can assume is that even in the disciples' excitement, I'm still not sure they even grasp it yet. Even after he came back to life, we capture that in the Scriptures, because it really wasn't until Pentecost, until the Holy Spirit came, when it all just kind of clicked into place. So for me this morning, I want to take just a few minutes and wonder what it would be like to be one of the disciples who, after this experience with the living Christ, still had a whole bunch of questions. And when I have a bunch of questions, I like to go for walks at times and just to sort it out. Because it seems like Jesus didn't just stay with them. He did a whole lot of appearing and in and out of various people's lives during those days before he ascended into heaven. And so there were moments when they were with him, and then there were moments when they weren't with him. And I'm like, I wonder what they were thinking when he wasn't right there. He was alive, but he wasn't with them. And so if it were me, I'd go for a walk. And where would I go for a walk? I think I would go for a walk in some of the places where we had been before, so that it would all kind of come back. We don't have time this morning to go to all the places they had been before, because you're waiting for breakfast. And we have some wonderful people out there getting it ready. So to me, one of the places I thought we would go would be back to the cross, back to the place where he did die, and just try to sort all these things out. And so that's what we're going to do here this morning in just these few minutes. I think that it's possible, we don't know this for sure, that when this disciple, maybe it's you, maybe it's me, we go back to the place of the cross and we see the things that were left from the crucifixion. And so we're going to focus on the nails this morning, because here's what Jesus said to the disciples. If you heard it in the verse, it said, as I have been sent, so send I you. And if I'm a disciple and now I'm at a place like this and I'm thinking about the nails and I'm thinking about what Jesus said, and I'm thinking that he said, I'm with you, but I'm not going to be with you, but I did this work and now I'm sending you to do this work, and I pick up the nails and I begin to think about the work that Jesus did with his hands, the two nails that held his hands to the cross. Think about what those hands did. Think about how they fed thousands of people with loaves and fishes. Think about how they helped and healed lepers and the blind back to see and the lame back to health. In the book Max Lucado wrote, one of his books called Grace for the Moment, he said, when human hands fastened divine hands to the cross with spikes, it wasn't the soldiers who held the hands of Jesus. It was the God. It was God who held his hands steady. Those same hands that formed the oceans and built the mountains, those same hands that designed the dawn and crafted each cloud, those same hands that blueprinted one incredible plan for you and me. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Jesus now sits in glory. But Jesus also said, you're not going to be alone. I'll be with you. So picture it with me. He's in glory, but he's also with us. But he's not with us in a physical sense where his hands can do the work. Whose hands now do the work? Our hands are to do the work. But we're not alone. It's the Holy Spirit who guides our hands. It's our hands that are called to do the ministry. And so we come to church on Easter, and we come to church on Sundays, and we get all dressed up, and we sit in the pews or the seats or wherever it is you might regularly go to church, and we sing hymns and we sing songs. But that's not the ministry. That's worship. That's being taught. That's being sent. But it's the ministry that he's called us to. It's the time where we're to roll up our sleeves and get dirty in the ministry. It's time to leave the stained glass windows and go to the stained lives of people. The resurrection is about life, and it's about ministry. And so we see that there were two spikes that held Jesus' hands. And now we are to be the hands. And if I'm the disciple, these things are beginning to sink in as I'm going for the walk. And then we get the other spike that was there on the ground. And we've been told by history, we've seen it depicted in pictures various ways, but it's most likely one spike held both feet to the cross. Now, of course, he's not on the cross. And he sent us. But where did his feet go? And what did his feet do? Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. In other words, follow Jesus. Where did he go? What did he do? He said in Matthew chapter 28, you will go to all nations. And he said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always. Acts 1:8 says you will go to the ends of the earth. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'm so excited and grateful that we are a part of a church that have the mission mindset, a mindset where we give hundreds, actually thousands of dollars every year to missionaries and to ministries. We just had a team come back from Honduras, and they gave a marvelous report of not only what's happening in Honduras, but what God did in their lives while serving. But I think that the feet of Jesus is not just focused on far. Jesus said, love your neighbor. And as we think about the mission that and the ministry that God has called us to, I think we need to not just skip to other nations, but he says, as you go, tell what he has done. As you go tell the disciples, he's not here, he is risen. Billy Graham tells a story that he was flying between cities on the African continent, and he began to share his faith in Christ with some reporters who had accompanied him. They didn't seem to be interested at all. They were kind of dismissive of Billy Graham and his desire to tell about the living Christ, until all of a sudden they hit a bunch of turbulence. And when they finally landed, one of the reporters said, "Now, what were you saying about life after death?" "But you know, we live in a turbulent world. Do you know that your neighbors are thinking about that? Your neighbors watch the news. Your neighbors hear the radio. Your neighbors get on their devices and they see all this bad news. And they are thinking, we live in turbulent times. Could this be the end?" You don't have to be religious to have those thoughts. And when people are having those thoughts, you know what Jesus said? "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And we are called to be the feet of Jesus and take the good news wherever we are. Traditionally, we've maybe thought of three spikes, but I think there was a fourth. The Bible seems to indicate that there was. And if you read the scriptures, it was a cruel joke where Pilate had this poster or a placard above Jesus' head. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 37, it said, "Above his head they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now, that was to be a slanderous thing. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Some king, we can put him to death. And the high priests and the teachers of the law, they said, "Take that down. He's not our king." Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." And the placard was in Greek and Hebrew and Latin, so everyone could read it. But now it's not up there. We see it on the ground. What are we to do with it? I think what we need to do with it is to pick it up and proclaim it. He is not here. He is not a king. He is the King. He is risen. He has appeared. And He sends us and He supplies us. Jesus is the King of the Jews. And that message is to be nailed to our hearts so that wherever we go, whatever we do with our hands, wherever we go with our feet, whatever we say from our heart and our mind is to proclaim, "He is not here. He is risen, just as He said. He is the King of the Jews." In Luke chapter 24, Jesus speaks about what would happen. And He says, "The Messiah will suffer and will rise from the dead. And on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name to all nations." And so this morning, we're not only getting to receive communion as an act of remembering that we are forgiven of our sins. We're also receiving communion as a remembrance that His resurrection will be preached in His name to all nations. Communion is an opportunity not only to receive the benefits of the resurrection, but also to proclaim the message of the resurrection. And so we're going to take communion as part of our service this morning. And we're going to take it as a celebration of what He has done for us. But we're also going to take it as a remembrance that we are to be His hands and His feet and His mouth as we go into a world that needs to hear about it. At our church, you don't have to be a member of our church. You don't have to be a regular attender of our church to take communion. But the scriptures say you do have to be a believer. And so here's the wording that helps us with that. "And you who are walking in fellowship with God and are in love with harmony with your neighbors, and you who do truly and earnestly repent of your sin and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from this time in holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and meekly make your humble confession to Almighty God." I'm going to ask the ushers also to come forward, and we're going to pray over these elements that represent His body and blood that will be passed, and on the tray will be both the bread and the juice. And then if you could, there's a few of us here today, not so many that we can hold it for a few minutes, and then I'll instruct us and we'll take it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And in the scriptures, when they talk about Jesus' death, they're talking about his resurrection, because they're one and the same. He didn't just die, and he didn't just resurrect. He died and resurrected. So when we proclaim this message of his death, we're also proclaiming this message of life. As John plays, as you receive the sacraments, hold on to them for a few minutes, and I will instruct you to take them here and just together. Let's pray. Our God of grace and mercy, we thank you that you ever loved us and provided for our redemption. We thank you for your Son who died to save us, for your Spirit who invites us to draw near. Guide us now as we commemorate the suffering of our Lord, and in so doing, the resurrection. Help us to remember the cost of our salvation. Help us to commune with you and with each other. And so consecrate the bread and the cup which are prepared, that as we partake of them, we may receive the spiritual benefits of Christ's broken body and shed blood. In his name we pray. Amen. The bread, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was given to you, preserve your soul and body into everlasting life. And take and eat this, remembering that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. The cup, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your soul and body into everlasting life. Drink this, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful.
Journey, the end of the road.
as you know, when it did click for the disciples, there was nothing that could stop them, right? When they actually realized that Jesus was gone, but he wasn't, and that there was a Holy Spirit that filled them and empowered them, they said they couldn't stop talking about it. And so let's let be our prayer this morning, that if we really start to grasp that he is alive, if we really start to believe that he is with us, and we really start to know that there is eternal life, the same will be said of us, that we can't stop sharing the good news. Would you stand with us today? Down in the kitchen, they're going to be surprised that I was able to go this short. So I'm going to give you a blessing and a prayer for the meal. And when you get down there, you say you have permission to eat, if they're ready. Come back at 9:30. Father, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us. And as we share in this breakfast together, this meal on this morning, may we celebrate in true fellowship, true worship, and true thanksgiving for who we are in you. And may we, even in this meal, begin to practice our love for each other and our call to the world to share the good news in what we do, where we go, and what we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.